I always had a problem at the beginning of Vayikra. Right away it says, Abel bnei Yisrael v'amata alehem, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem. So Rashi says, Odom, lomo nema, why does the Torah use this word Odom? To teach you ma Odom harishon lo hikriv min hagezel, sha'akoyl ho yoshaloi, af atem lo sakrivu min hagezel. So it's to teach us that you gazel the korban, you're not yoitzer. It's possible. You mustn't be makriv min hagezel. It was bothered me, like such a strange way of putting it. Odom HaRishon wasn't makriv from gezel, so you mustn't be makriv from gezel. The Torah has simpler ways of saying that you need lochem. Lokachtem lochem b'yom HaRishon pri etz hodos. It has to be lochem. Like, what a strange way of saying, just like Odom wasn't makriv from gezel, you mustn't be makriv from gezel. Like, it's just doesn't sit right, or it didn't sit right with me to understand, like, why such a strange way of teaching us a halacha, which essentially is a simple halacha, which is reflected in other mitzvahs also, but not in this way. So the emphasis, I think, that we're touching over here on the big yesoides of Sefer Vayikra. Bocha came to me this week and asked, isn't it strange that the Torah interrupts the narrative with Sefer Vayikra? I mean, Shemois brings us to the end of the Geula. We've mentioned the Ramban so many times that the Geula is not Nishlam until the Eshov L'malas Avoysam Shoho Yosoid Eloya Ale Oholehem, and that therefore Sefer Shemois ends with the Onan filling the Mishkan, and that's the Hashuas Hashchina, and now they're really out of Mitzrayim. That is the end of the Geula. And now you come to a sefer which is full of halachos, and of course Torah's Koyanim, because the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash and of the Kohuna. And then in Bamidbar the narrative picks up again. I mean, I don't know whether anybody ever lost any big sleep about that. I mean, you know, we're so used to the Torah that that's the way it is. But the Emma says, let's stop a moment and ask ourselves, is there some deeper logic over here? Is there something that we can suddenly be oimed on what the Torah is telling us by this? And I think that there is. See, I found a certain dichotomy, which means the two things being together and somehow not completely fitting with one another in the whole Indian of the Kohuna. The Ramban, at the beginning of the Tzave, there's a long Ramban because the Torah says that the big day Kohuna, well there the Torah says it about the big day Kohen Godel, al-lechovayt al-sif ores. But later on it says also about the big day Hedyot, that they're lechovayt al-sif ores. And the Ramban has a big Ramban over there to show that the big day Kohuna were really big day Malchus. He shows from many psukim in Tanakh that the trailers and so on, all these things, the way that the kindness was, the me'il, they're always associated with royalty. So the mitzvah of the Torah was to address the kohanim in big day malchus. And then you see what the kohanim, what is it that the kohanim did? I mean, essentially this was butchering, the shechting the korbanos and cutting them up and taking out the thim and the keref ha'kohayim yichatz b'mayim. These are all not very mechubet dikke things, actions in themselves. Obviously, they were doing it in the Beis HaMikdash and they were doing it in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you're taking somebody whom you're dressing in big day malchus and making him do things which outside the Beis HaMikdash would have been done not by the melech. The melech has a cook and he has a pantry maid to do his work for him and to wash the kohayim. So you have a mixture over here of being extremely exalted and at the same time expressing that exaltedness in very, very low-class actions. The actions in themselves seem to be low-class actions. So what is really meant over here? So getting back to the Odom so that we don't lose the track over here, and then we'll come and try and be masbir the whole Indian a little more fundamentally. But the pshat is like this. I think that the following answer could have been given or can be given to this bacha who asks, why interrupt the narrative with Torah's Kayanim? And I think that perhaps an answer, I'm scared to say the answer, because how do I know? But maybe an answer might be as follows, that this is part of the narrative, that the Rebbein Hashem is saying, listen, you are now Geulim. The Ornan is there, it's Soid Eloya Ale Oholehem, in exactly the same way as it was by the Oves HaKadoshim. Now I want you to understand what this Malchus is. I want you to understand what the Malchus of your freedom, how that will express itself. And you know how it will express itself. It will express itself in being totally meshubet to the Rebbein Shlalom. That the Kovod and the Sif'eres, which your begodim are made on you, that you are somebody to whom Kovod and Pe'er is appropriate. Now use that kovod and pe'er to be mema'et yourself and do the most servantly kind of thing, the least mechubet kind of things. That should be an expression of your malchus. That's a moira de gezach. You're a melech, you're wearing big de kohune, and the big de kohune are the kovod and the sif'ores, and this kovod and sif'ores is going to express itself by doing very menial tasks, tasks which in themselves don't chas v'sholom mean that the avodah was in any way menial, but the way the people must have experienced it, they were doing menial tasks. Many of these kohanim who were doing these things in the Beis HaMikdash, at home they wouldn't do that. They probably have a maid and they probably have somebody to do it for them. So there is such a thing. There is such a thing as expressing malchus in being menial, in being mevatel yourself. The emes is, as so steht mefurish, and that is taka. It's a big insight which I never really had before. Let me share with you what I, we all know the story of the moon and the sun and the moon. So, Vayas Elokim es Shnei Hamaoros Hagadolim, es Hamoer Hagadolim Memsheles Hayom, es Hamoer Hakoton Memsheles Halaila, ve Eis Hakoichovim. Zogt Rashi, Hamaoros Hagadolim, so Rashi says, Shovim Nivru, ve Nismata Halavona, al Shekitrego, ve Omro, I Efshel Shnei Melochem Sheishtamshu Bekese Echad. So everybody knows this Rashi, and I must have learned it many times in my life. I certainly always knew it for as long back as I can remember. But I don't think that I was ever oimed on what I was oimed this morning when I was thinking about this. There is a dimension over here which I didn't chap. And it's takamayrodik when you think about it. What did the Levona say? The Levona said, Ein shnei melochem mishtamshem, Bekese echad. So, I never was oimed on this, but let me tell you what I was oimed on this morning. I think it's a correct diuk. What is the Levona saying? You can't have two melochim using one keser. What if they would have two ksorim? So then it's all right to have two melochim. Not the pshat is that ein shnei melochim mishtamshem bekese echad means there can only be one melech. Doesn't say that. It says there can be two melochim, but they can't be mishtamish bekese echad. Meaning, I think that's the way I'm thinking now. That seems to be implicit in those words. That implicit in those words is that you could have different aspects of malchus. It means it doesn't say that melech has only one definition. It's Yitochen that the two melochim, meaning that the two ways of expressing malchus. But if there are, in fact, two ways of expressing malchus, so then that has to be expressed in the fact that each one is wearing a different keser. It's not the two melochim which bothered the Levona. It's the keser echad that bothered the Levana. So that means that when the Ribbono Shel Olam said to the Levana, okay, be mema'et yourself, what he's saying is not that you're not a melech. He's saying, fine, here's your keser. Now what does all that mean? How does a keser lie in miut? So the tenets is, of course, that there is, of course, I never was oimed on this, but it's a mishuladika truth, that there is malchus in miut. There is the melech who expresses his total ascendancy by being a melech, and there is a melech who is a melech in the sense that he shows that even apparent lowliness in his life is also malchus. That malchus can express itself also in an absence of the outer trappings of malchus. That when the outer trappings of malchus are missing, that's also a part of the malchus. The emes is, when we think about it, that is exactly what happened by the Moedim, the famous Gemara. We've talked about it before, that the Shedra Shel Odom, L'Acha Sheva Shonim, Nase Nochosh, V'hudu Lekora B'Moedim. That if you're not Kerea B'Moedim, so then you become a Nochosh. What's the pshat? So we've said over the Maral a lot of times, like, what's it got to do with Nochosh? Let's repeat it again, because that's really the side on which we're pitching this Havana in Sefer Vayikra over here. It's a big, big yesod. The Maral explains both Odom and Nochash were melochem. Odom was the melech over everything, and the Nochash was a melech over the chayas. So the pshat is like this, that how did that Malchus express itself? That they both stood bekoimus kufa. A melech stands bekoimus kufa. A melech has a spine, so the melech stands bekoimus kufa. What happened? We know the story. So what happened was that the nochosh had its spine taken away from it. So now it's al gechoinech lateler. The Odom retains his spine, but he only retains his spine if he's able to be mishtachave b'moedim. Meaning, the Maral explains it over there, that the test of the awareness of what Malchus is can you be machnia yourself between a melech who's bigger than you? The Nochash was unable to do that. If the Nochash was unable to be machnia, that means what I'm saying is that the Nochash did not have a shaychus to that Malchus which expresses itself in the absence of the traps of Malchus. Nachamol, a true melech doesn't depend on his clothes. And if, for example, Shlomo Melech, yeah, for however long it was, so he only had his makel, he didn't have any more the trappings of Malchus, but he was still Shlomo HaMelech. The true melech is not dependent on his clothes, and the true melech can be looking like a big, big Evyain, and he's still the melech, he retains his malchus. And that the Nochash didn't understand. The Nochash didn't understand that it has to be machnia itself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's a bigger melech. Odom HaRishon understood that, and therefore he retained his malchus. But on what condition? That he's mishtachave b'moedim. That he has to be able to take that shedra and to be mispakeku chul yosef, that he takes each one of the components of what makes the spine able to stand up so straight, and he bows down so that that koima zekufa is mispakek. They all become separate from each other. Each one becomes a little schnips of something, and there's no malchus at all. He's bowing down till nispakekuchul yosef. What kind of a melech are you? You're bowing down. Otto Teretz is, it does this the melech was a spin. That is the malchus. That's a moigel de gezach. See, and that is, I think, what, like, we asked the question of why put this, that the fact that a gezel, a kom, which is a nigzel, is possible. So why express that in such a strange way? Odom ki yakrev mikem. That's the pshat. In other words, we ask, why does Vayikra follow on Shemois? Why interrupt the narrative? The Talmud is, does is the merit narrative. Rabbi said, Rabbi Shemois saying to us, you're now free. You're an Odom. You can stand up straight. You're not kufuf anymore before any master. You know what that freedom is? You know what the peak of that freedom is? Adam ki yakrif mikem. Take that Adamness, take that freedom, take that malchus, and express it in bringing korbanos, in being machnia yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This fits, Vayikra fits like a glove to the end of Shemos. It fits like a glove to the end of Shemos, because that is an uptight of what Sefer Shemos is. Sefer Vayikra is a Rashi on Sefer Shemos. Do you want to know what this Sefer HaGeula is all about? Do you want to know the significance of being Nigal from Mitzrayim? Do you want to know the mashmos of your freedom? The mashmos of your freedom is that you can bow down to the Ribbono Shel Olam and be machnia yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aral says, Chazal say that Sefer Beresh, Sefer Vayikra is connected with Hanoiro. Okay, La Godel is Beresh, is Agibah, is Shemos, Hanoiro. Because Ramal, Aral says, because Noiro is Yichud, is Echad, Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That is the Ribbono Shel Olam is Echad, and therefore everything Ke'ilu becomes nisbatel to him, which the Maral understands is the Indian of the Korbanos. So that means everything goes up in smoke relative to him. That is what true Malchus is. To be able to bow down atcha nispakeku chol yosef. Adam ki yakrif mikem. When you bring a korban, you're Adam. Adam was a melech bigger than any other melech in the world. The entire universe lay at his feet. There was never a bigger a melech than Adam HaRishon when he was alone in the world. Can you imagine a whole cosmos? We have no musik at all of what that means. But whatever it is, that was all kofuf to Adam. He was the biggest melech who ever was. That was who Adam was. So it's Adam ki yakrev. With the awareness of that total malchus which is vested in you, you are also an Adam. Chayv Adam loyma bishvili nivro ha'ilam. So be'etzem, that madrega of malchus which was vested in Adam HaRishon, the absolute monarchy over everything. So what the Torah is saying is, Adam ki yakrif mikem. When you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you have to go into the Beis HaMikdash with an awareness of your Adamness. That means, Bishvili nivro ha'olam. And now you go and be makrif. And that is the duality, the dichotomy, which exists within the Kohuna and which exists in Klal Yisrael. When we come to think about it, that is really what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. So it's so strange. Yeah, it's supposed to be a mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. So Rashi says, we've mentioned it before, Rashi says, what does mamleches koyanim mean? Sorim, an aristocracy. Sorim, princes. And it says by David HaMelech, and David Koyanim are you, that they were the aristocrats. So a Koyan is an aristocrat. That's why he wears big day malchus. We saw in the Ramban before that he wears big day malchus. And then what happens? Yeah, you're a mamlechus Koyanim, but Kohuna is also Sheiros, the Shores. So you're a servant. The Teretz is, that's the Gilui. The Gilui is, I want you, Taka, to be Koyanim, to be aristocrats, but what kind of aristocrats? The kind of aristocrats which take off their jackets and roll up their sleeves and do the avoider of a bigger melech than they, and leave all their covet behind, Ki'ilu, although they have to be conscious of it, they're wearing big day kohuna, and they have to be so careful that none of the blood sprinkles on the big day kohuna, because that passes the beged. So they have to be melochim, sorim, who do menial work. And that is bediyuk, apparently, what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. We're supposed to be constantly aware of our aristocracy while living lives of total sheiros, of total avdos. Isn't that a stira? No, the way we learned Pshat in Rashi now, that ein shnei melochem mishtamshem bekeseh echad, is verkehrt. That's the gilui that you can have malchus in abnegation, in being totally not goyrus your covered, and being menial and doing things which outside the Beis HaMikdash you would never do. So the pshat is, that is the other form of malchus, and now that we're thinking about it, it could be that that is a bigger form of malchus. It's a more choshever kind of malchus. Because if the melech is wearing his big day kahuna, and he's fearing zich with malchus, and he's got servants standing all around, and the whole pe'er of malchus, so we don't know anything about him as a person. We don't know that he really fits that malchus. It could be that all the trappings which surround him, the beautiful crown, the beautiful clothes, the many servants, the palace, whatever it is that goes into expressing that malchus, maybe it doesn't touch the inner man. But if you have a person who can wear his big day kahuna while he's washing the kruayim, which means that he's doing a menial thing, and nevertheless doesn't lose one iota of his malchus, he's still wearing his glorious l'shemu l'tiferes big day kahuna, and acting in such a way that he's a moirudik, a mechubedik person, and it's a mechubedik person doing actions which in his other life he wouldn't even dream of doing, that is megale, that the malchus is not vested in his clothes, but the malchus is vested in his person. So in a way, the malchus of self-abnegation is a greater and more expressive malchus than the malchus of the greatness and the covet of the melech. And you know what? The truth is that we say it constantly, and at least I, sure all of you are much more mechaven, but by Kiddush Levon it never struck me as forcibly as it struck me now while I'm thinking about this. What are we really saying over here? So, Asher b'ma'amor bo shechokim uvruach piv kol tzvo'am chol gizman noson lohem shlo yishan es tafkidam sosim usmeichim lasos rutsoin koinam poil emes shepulosa emes. Listen to this. Sosim usmeichim lasos rutsoin koinam. You've got these heavenly bodies who want nothing more than to do the rotzoin of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. Sosim usmeichem lasos rotzoin koinam. And how does that stell sich aus? Listen to this. V'lalvone ome shetischadesh ateres tiferes la'amusei votem ho asidem lehischadesh kemoiso ulefoel leyoitzrom. Hashem Kavod Malchusa. That's so mind-boggling, this text over here. It's mamish moira in the world. What did the Rebbeinu Shalom say to the Levona? He said, I'm going to be memayed you, but you're going to be mischadesh. When the Rebbeinu Shalom said to the Levona, Mati Atzmecha, what's he saying? He's saying, you're not going to have your own light. You're right, there shouldn't be shnei melochem mishtamshim bekeser echad. The keser of overt malchus, that's already given. That's going to belong to the sun. You're also going to be a melech, but you're going to wear a different crown. You're going to wear a different kind of crown. You're going to wear the crown of potential chiddush. That you're going to go into darkness again and again and again and again. You're going to disappear, you're going to disappear, you're going to disappear, and every time, like clockwork, you're going to come out again. And you know what? That is your ateres teferes, that is your crown. And you know what? Since you are going to be a marshal for Klal Yisrael, Ateres tiferes le'amusei votem sheheim asidem le'eschadesh kemoisa. I want to read to you how Rav Shamsher Hirsch, of course it's in English over here, but let's see how he translates it, it's close enough. He bade the moon renew itself. Oh, a crown of glory to those burdened from birth. Oh, Rabbi said, amusei votem, that's who we are. Amusei votem, from the womb. From the womb we've suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered. So many burdens, so many tzoros. So difficult to be a Yid sometimes. We are amusei voten. Let's read what Rav Shlomo Zalman says over here in his parish. What is the translation? At the same time, the moon serves as a sign for the nation of God, which, like the moon, moves on through continuous change across the horizon of the history of the nations. When the Jewish people first entered the orbit of world history, its God said to it, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem." With these words he promised that it would be Israel's inalienable destiny to emerge again and again out of the darkness of its fate into light. And he also assigned to Israel the eternal task ever to struggle from out of the darkness of error into the light of truth. Amusei Voten, from the very beginning of its existence as a nation, Yisroel has been charged or burdened with a definite task and destiny. Continually renewed and reborn like the moon, they are to serve as an instrument in the hands of God for His glory and for the establishment of His kingdom on earth by virtue of their path, which they follow across the horizon of the nations. My grande Welt, listen to this. Lalvona Omer Shetishchadesh, the Rebbeinu Shem said, okay, Ein Shnei Melochem Mishtamshem B'Kesa Echad, fine, you're going to be the one who doesn't have your own light. You're going to be the one who needs the light of the sun to make you shine. And that's going to impose on you long periods of darkness when you're not exposed to the sun. Or at least from where we stand, you look as though you are not exposed to the sun. So it's darkness. We experience it as darkness. And then you're also always going to come out. You're going to come out and shine again. That is your malchus. That is the keser of your malchus. Klal Yisrael, in its history, is bowing by Moedim. It's being mispakek chul Yosef. The spine which defines its kingship, the koima zekufa, is made in such a way that it's mispakekable. You can be mispakek the chulyas. You can bow with those chulyas. It's the same spine. And in the end, you're going to get up again like a chizr. You're going to go up. You bow down completely, and then you stand up straight. That's a part of the bowing down. That's such a magadik zach. That's a halocha in Moedim, that you bow in this and this way, and then you go up. And in one sort of movement, you stand straight again. The bowing doesn't end in the bowing, except it's going to get a little painful if you're going to have to stand the rest of your life bow down, so you get up afterwards. No, that's not the pshat. It's a bowing which ends up with a straightening. That's a minor because you side in what's happening. If the bowing wouldn't end up in straightening, it would be a deficient bowing. Wouldn't be the right kind of bowing. But because the bowing ends up in standing straight, so mimela, that is the good bowing. That is the kind of bowing that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And that is ateres tiferes l'amusei voten. The amusei voten have their crown. Atorah is a crown. And it's an atorah of tiferes. It's an atorah of pe'er. And that HaTorah, that crown the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to Klal Yisrael. Your crown is to be able to bow. Your crown is to be able to function in obscurity. You are the kind of melech where the malchus is vested in you and not in the clothes in which you're wearing. It's vested in you and not in the shine which is emanating from you. It's you. Even in the darkness, even in the darkness, the moon doesn't stop being a moon when it's not exposed to the sun. So, Meirdi Gesach, just to finish this off, I think that that is what we say in the Brocha every morning. The last of the Birchas HaShachar, of that series, Pakei HaRivrim, Al B'Sharumim, right, it ends with those two things, Oizei Yisroel B'Gvurah, and the last one is Oite Yisroel B'Sifara. Hanosin L'Yavkoi was only in the second later, it's not in the Gemara. So the end of the real Birchas HaShachar, the way It's really Medina de Gomorrah is Oita Yisrael B'Sefara. And that is what we're really saying. We're thanking the Rebbeinu Shem, thank you for making us Melech. What am I putting on my head? If I'm a poor man standing in there, sitting in a shack and sleeping on the floor, I get up in the morning and I have some kind of a cap or which I found in a garbage heap somewhere, and that's what I put up on my head. And I say to the Rebbeinu Shem, Oita Yisrael B'Sefara. The hat can be as nondescript as you'd like. It can be dirty, it can be greasy, it can be whatever it is that you want. It could be filthy. It's nothing. It's garnish. But when I put it on my head, what I'm experiencing is Oita Yisrael B'Sefara. My poverty, my suffering, my amusei boten, that is an expression of Atorah. That is an expression of my kingship.